Thank you, Dr. Comfort. It's a pleasure to be here. I want to thank you for the opportunity and privilege, Brother Bill, Brother Comfort. It's a blessing to always a blessing to be back in North Carolina. We're over in Tennessee now. I'm as far west as I was growing up east. I grew up in East Tennessee. And amen. There you go. Anybody else? Well, praise God, brother. Me and you'll have to meet after the service. You'll understand this, brother, when I say this. This sermon this morning I want to share with you is kind of like soup beans. Anybody here ever have soup beans? Let's see. Well, amen. I've been over here in Memphis now for a couple of years, actually, Brother Comfort, 2 years. We're going into our third year now. And a lot of people in different places where I've been, they don't know what soup beans are. They really don't. It's kind of like, oh, we have beans, but soup beans are different. And if you have good soup beans, you got to have some good side meat or something to put in there, or a ham bone, you know, and put it down in there. But getting beans together and getting them ready is a process. In fact, it's really, it's a beautiful thing, actually. And they have to be sorted. You got to get the rocks out of the beans. They have to be cleaned up, and then they have to be soaked. I remember the first time I tried to make soup beans, I was craving soup beans. When I was a kid, I had soup beans so many different ways, I never wanted to eat another bean the rest of my life. I grew up, we'd have soup beans in the morning, we'd have soup beans in the afternoon, and soup beans in the evening sometimes, you know. We had a lot of beans around the house. We ate a lot of beans. And you can imagine it was a joyous time where I grew up. But anyway, the truth is, I hated them because we'd have them one day, and then guess what we did the next day? Mama put the beans back on the stove. You had beans until that pot of beans were gone. Then you know what happened? They got another pot ready. But the reality is, I thought, man, I miss those soup beans. And you start to miss some things maybe you thought you had too much of growing up. But I tried to fix some, but I didn't soak them. And boy, it's like biting into this pulpit here whenever I tried to eat those. And it didn't taste like mammals, amen? And I about cried when I discovered they didn't taste like mammals. But anyway, since I've learned how to do it. Now, basically what I'm telling you is this. You have to let soup beans simmer. And the message I want to share with you this morning, I want you to let it simmer. And then I want you to get it back out a little bit later on and think about it some more. And then later on, get it out and think about it some more. Let it work on your heart over time. And I really believe that God will use this in your life, not just today, but hopefully for years to come. Second Samuel 23 this morning, if you would. Open your Bible there. I get a little tickle in the back of my throat every time I come to North Carolina. Thank you for the water. 2 Samuel 23, and there's a passage of Scripture here, verse number 13. This whole chapter is about David's mighty men. And there's one section that I would read and kind of think about and think to myself, boy, if that happened to me, I think I'd get a little disturbed by it. I'd be a little irritated with King David if he did to me what he does to these three mighty men, if you will. Look at verse number 13. The Bible says, "And there of the and three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time, unto the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed, and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David." Pretty amazing thing here. Three men challenged the host of the Philistines right in their camp. They broke through, and maybe while two were fighting off the Philistines, one guy got some water out of that pool and got it into the container and got ready. Said, "Okay, fellas, I got it. Let's break back out of here." They had to break in and break out. They fought their way in and fought their way out. I mean, they hazarded their lives because someone they loved and respected greatly said, Boy, it'd be good to have a drink of that water. Sure would taste good. And they charged in and charged out, and they got it back to David. Imagine how they felt when they arrived back to where King David was, and they said, look what we brought you, David. Boy, we want to honor you because we love you, David. The Bible says, notice the next phrase here in verse 16. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof. Boy, I'd have been offended by that. I'd have thought, do you realize what we went through to get you this? Now, you may be a little more pious than I am and have understood long before now the purpose of all this and why it happened the way it did. But my head's a little bit harder than most, and so it took God a few years to help me understand what was going on here. Let's finish reading it, and I'll explain something, and then we'll pray and get into the message. It says, nevertheless, he poured it, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. I want to challenge you this morning with a thought, and I want you to think about it, not just today, but down the road. Maybe think about this whenever you are tempted to quit. Or think about this when you're tempted to yield to temptation. Think about it as the ministry is hard and difficult sometimes. Maybe think about it whenever the finances aren't exactly what they ought to be, or maybe whenever you're having some trouble in your home, or one of your children, they're just not quite doing right. Think about this thought. I believe it's important for you and I to discover and dedicate ourselves to a higher purpose. And that's exactly what happened with this drink of water. These fellas were selfless in their act. They wanted to honor a very noble and great man, a man of high stature, if you will, very highly respected, a man proven in battle, a great warrior and a great king. In fact, undoubtedly the greatest king that Israel ever knew. And so they brought him that water. And David showed them there was a higher purpose for their sacrifice than David. What a wonderful truth to learn this morning. Let's pray together, and I want to share some thoughts with you that God has directed me concerning this matter today. Father, we thank you for your word. Help us today as we consider this truth. I pray, Lord, that we would certainly discover and dedicate our lives to the higher purpose of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, for your will to be done. I pray that this message would be one that we file away in our hearts. We should do this with all of them, really, but Lord, that we would remember when we're tested that we have a higher purpose. When we're tempted to give in to some temporal pleasure, that we have a higher purpose. That this would strengthen our lives and our faith and our work for you in the days ahead. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First, I want you to think about this. Your higher purpose is often discovered through selfless acts. Your higher purpose is often discovered through something that you do that is selfless. In other words, the reality is that your higher purpose is not going to be about you. It's not going to be something that puts you directly in the limelight. In fact, your higher purpose may never get you a pat on the back. Your higher purpose may never be one that's noticed by those that we see as superior, if you will. But that higher purpose will bring honor and glory to the God of heaven. When these men did this thing, when they broke through that wall or broke through that host of Philistines and then broke out again, when they did this thing that really took a amazing courage and certainly battle, I would say there was blood, sweat, and tears, if you want to say it that way. And they fought hard. You know who they were thinking of? They were thinking of David. They never considered what David might do with their sacrifice. But when David poured that drink offering out to God, when David poured that water out to the Lord before them and in their presence, He elevated the purpose that they hazarded their lives for. It all started with a selfless act. It all started when they were thinking more of someone they loved than themselves. And can I say this morning that your higher purpose in life is not to be one of the richest men in America? It's not to build the biggest church in America necessarily. Praise the Lord. If you do have a great work, if many people get saved, you send missionaries all over the world, but that's not the end. That's not the goal. Your higher purpose is selflessness dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the higher purpose. Think about the Lord Jesus whenever He was on this earth. Who did Jesus serve? Himself? Certainly not. He served others. What an example He left for us. I want you to think about this. Not only is your higher purpose often discovered through acts of selflessness, but number two, what we may consider an unnecessary waste of time is often God's means of preparing us for our higher purpose. Let me say that again. What we may consider an unnecessary waste of time may often be God's means of preparing us for our higher purpose. I don't know about you. I share this, and I think these men behind me probably understand when I say this, but I remember when I started Bible college. In fact, I was brand new saved. I hadn't been saved but maybe about 2 years when I came to Ambassador Baptist College. There was a lot of grace and a lot of mercy applied to my life. But what a great place to be discipled. Amen. And God really changed my life while I was here. And after about that first year, my freshman year, I went back for one summer to work at my home church, which was Eastside Baptist in Greenville, Tennessee. Now I'm pastoring Eastside Baptist in Memphis, Tennessee. But when I went back to my home church there, I went back that first summer to work for the church. All day long I knocked on doors. And after my first year of Bible college, actually my first semester of Bible college, I was ready to go back and explain to the pastor how to do everything. I mean, I was prepared and ready. I was like one of those racehorses at the gate, you know? I mean, I wanted to go around the gate, over the gate, under the gate. I just wanted to get going on the race. And then I remember coming back to Bible college and thinking, what a waste of time. I should be out winning thousands to Jesus Christ right now. I should already have my shingle up and lights flashing on it, because I know if I go out and I'm prepared to preach and I just stand up somewhere and preach and tell about what God's done for me, oh, thousands will just pour in. I was ready to change the world. I thought, what a waste of time sitting in here learning this Greek. Theop nuisance. That's what I felt about it. But learned a few things along the way, and God began to hammer in my life some things that needed to be hammered off and chisel some things here and chisel some things there. And I want to tell you something. If I would have left this place early, I would have finished early. I would have been finished a long time ago, I'm sure of it. Think about King David. He's our example here. When you think about this, can you imagine? Here's David. Youngest of these brothers, and he's out there and he's tending the sheep. Could you imagine if we're here, you know, and we had a chance to go back in time and we interviewed David, young David, we say, David, what do you think about this sheep tending business? And he's out there kind of kicking the ground a little bit. And he says, well, I'd sure a whole lot better rather be out there with my brothers. They're down there fighting the battle. Man, I can't wait to go fight the battle with my brothers. I tell you, I'm out here on the backside of this desert, always taking care of these sheep. I tell you, I wish Dad would understand that I've got great potential. All of a sudden, we hear a lion roar. He says, oh, excuse me, I got to go take care of something. Runs off down there. Comes back, maybe got some blood on him. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm a mess now. But I delivered one of Dad's sheep. And you're talking a little bit more. David, tell me about some of these Psalms you've written. Well, I get so bored out here, you know. I just start writing things as they come to my mind, and I believe it's from God, and God is speaking to my heart, and I write these things down. David, these are beautiful. I want to tell you, David, someday down the road, he might have thought, well, I just don't have anything better to do but pen these things. I believe he understood that he was inspired of God. He knew that God was directing. And you're talking with him about those psalms, and all of a sudden you hear another roar, and this time it's a bear. Excuse me, I got to go take care of something. But what was God doing? He was preparing David to take care of a giant down the road. You know, by the way, your higher purpose needs to stay in the forefront of your mind. What God's doing in your life right now is a part of preparation for that purpose. It's a part of God's plan for your life. 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required of stewards. What? That a man be found faithful. Stay with it. Stick to it. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged in the mundane. What you're doing in the classroom is going to be oh so important sometime down the road. That makes it important today. Every chapel message you hear is important. Every pastor and missionary and evangelist and full-time Christian worker that you get to meet and listen to is invaluable. What a wonderful opportunity. What about 1 Timothy 3:2? What's he say there? Let these first be what? Proved. Bible college is a proving ground. Sometimes God has lots of proving ground for us. But remember, what we may consider unnecessary is often God's means of preparing us for our higher purpose. Third thing I want you to note and consider with me this morning. When people or possessions are used for their higher purpose, their value increases. When people or possessions are used for their higher purpose, their value increases. You think about that donkey colt, that ass's colt that Jesus rode in on. We're getting close to that triumphal entry, close to that week that we would remember what the Lord Jesus did for us and certainly acknowledge the resurrection of our Savior. What a wonderful thing to consider. But here's this donkey and he's tied just where Jesus said. He's been tied to that stake and he's really there for a much higher purpose. I heard a fellow preach not too long ago. He said, you know, I'm just an old redneck country boy. He said, if that would have been me, I'd have been buying that donkey after Jesus rode it, and I'd be offering donkey rides on the donkey Jesus rode on. He said, man, I could make some money. But, you know, you think about it. I dare say that colt was never ridden again. His highest purpose had been achieved. Think about this, the upper room. The upper room in most of those homes were used for guests and things like that. But think about the upper room that Jesus and His disciples used. What higher purpose could that room have had? Maybe somebody considered it such an invaluable room whenever they had a family gathering and all the family came in from out of town for the Passover or something like that. And they're all going upstairs to gather and have a meal. And it's a time for family gathering. And it's like a family reunion. What a great purpose to have this room up here for. But one day Jesus and His disciples came and said, hey, we have need of this room. That elevated that room. It elevated its purpose. You think about something like a building, an old building sitting out on the side of a road somewhere, and maybe it's been used as a pool hall or it's been used as even a bar or something like that. What a low purpose. But then some young man out of Bible college says, you know, I want to go plant a church somewhere. And he finds that empty building and he begins to restore the building and clean it up and straighten it out and puts a church in there. What a much higher purpose. Things that are offered to God increase in value. I think about that middle cross. How much of a higher purpose could that cross have had? Think about the borrowed tomb. No one ever laid in that tomb again. What a high purpose. Turn to Matthew 26, if you would, real quick. It gives a great illustration of exactly what I'm talking about when I say that something dedicated to the Lord increases its value when it's used for its highest purpose, for Him. Matthew 26, verse 6 there, the story, probably a very familiar one. The Bible says, now when Jesus was in Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, there came unto Him a woman having an alabaster box. Notice these words, a very precious ointment. And it was very costly, another place it says. It says, very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation. Now, notice what it says. His disciples, plural. You know, they hadn't understood this higher purpose principle that I'm talking about. It hadn't grasped their mind yet. He says here, when they saw this poured out, that when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? By the way, I know Judas was the one that probably led in that question. But the rest of them were pretty quick to join in. Pretty quick to question it. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Well, that's a worthy cause. Wow, to give that to the poor. What a worthy cause. That's a great idea. Judas, let's go with that one because, I mean, just to pour it out on one purpose, what a waste. On one person, rather, what a waste. A lot of people said, you know, Jim Elliot wasted his life. A lot of people have said many men who've gone off to serve the Lord have wasted their lives. I remember when I got saved and had a great job there in my hometown, was making good money, and I left there to go off to Bible college. My brother said, you're about to waste your life. Now he calls me and he says, I listened to that message you preached the other day. Thank you. Much higher purpose. Goes on here in verse number 10, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus understood it. He said unto them, why trouble you the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. You know, we think about this higher purpose and how that when we yield our higher purpose to the Lord Jesus Christ, yield ourselves fully and completely to Him, we're talking about the difference of temporal and eternal. This ointment could have been used in a temporal way and it would have never been remembered and then it would have been a waste, but poured out on the Lord Jesus Christ, it became eternal immediately. We're talking about the difference between now and always. You see, there's a lot of things I can have right now, but I might give up the always. The Lord Jesus Christ said, wherever the gospel is preached, shall this be told as a memorial for her. Why? Because she discovered the highest purpose of all for that precious ointment. She poured it out on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our highest purpose is to be poured out unto God. You go back there to 2 Samuel 23:16-17. David said there of these men that they had hazarded their lives, and therefore he could not drink it, but he poured it out unto the Lord. I thought about that as I was trying to get my heart ready for this morning. I thought about what sacrifices have been made for me and you to be able to be here today. What lives have been poured out so that you and I could have this Bible? How many men have shed their blood so that you and I could have this precious book? How many dollars have been expended? How many people have invested time and money and manpower even into this facility and this place so that you can have a place to get an education to go out and serve God? Listen, keep that highest purpose in your mind. People discover the higher purpose and the world around us says, man, that looks like a waste, but God says, that's pleasing in my sight. You know, your life is going to be poured out. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 14:14, we must needs die and are as water spilt on the ground which cannot be gathered up again. You ever play ball with a kid and the kid, or maybe you're the kid that does this, you know, he misses a shot and says, oh, redo. Or you play tag, you know, and you get the kid real quick and he says, oh, I wasn't ready, it doesn't count, let's do it again. Life's not that way. You can capture something on video and replay it, but you'll never be able to relive it. You know, I think it's important for us to understand that because we ought to totally invest ourselves for God every moment we live. Because the last minute you had, it's poured out and you can't get it back. The minute before that, it's gone too. The only thing we have is the next minute. I think about this. Our highest purpose is to be poured out unto God. Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Pleasing God and serving Him is more honorable than serving the noblest of men. Now, I think it is a wonderful thing to serve a godly man. And God may call you to do that, and that may be the highest purpose for you, that God has you serving under someone, serving Him under that person, but it's a service as unto the Lord. But a lot of people spend their life trying to please men when they should be seeking to please God. In closing, I want you to think about this. Your highest purpose will be constantly challenged by temporal things. Your highest purpose in life will be constantly challenged by temporal things. Probably one of the best examples of that in Scripture is Hebrews 11:24. The story of Moses, of course, kind of caps in capsule form here. It says, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather. What an amazing statement there. Moses could have said, boy, I can change the lives of these Hebrews if I'll just take this position and hold it. Boy, I can make a real difference. No, he said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Notice this phrase, for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He chose a higher purpose. Notice next verse. It says, by faith he forsook Egypt. You know, if you choose your higher purpose, you will have to walk by faith. You will not be able to see the end many times. You won't be able to see the way out, but God knows it. And He'll give you the next step all the way. All the way. Choosing your highest purpose will be challenged, but the best thing you can do is keep it ever before you, continuing to step out by faith for God's glory. Selfless serving of Him. I think about David. I told you a moment ago to make sure you keep that highest purpose before you. Keep it constantly in the forefront of your mind. You know, David had one lapse in his life. And I don't even have to tell you what it was. We all know. One lapse in his life. Why? Because his highest purpose left his view for a few moments. He got out of his routine and settled into something wrong and spent almost a year of his life away from God. He said, oh, how my bones waxed old. It was terrible, he said. I think about one last example, and I'm going to close. Two young men just went to prison. Two wasted lives. Two young men playing football in Ohio, high school students, got a young lady drunk, took liberties with her. You know what? They thought, oh, boy, here's a great opportunity. We're living for the moment. You see, God has a much higher purpose for young people. He's got a great high purpose for you. Now, listen, you mark this down. You're in a great environment, but you remember this. Your highest purpose will be challenged, not just now, but down the road. Keep Him before you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your Word this morning. Thank You for the privilege to just open this book and share some truth with these folks. I pray, Lord, that You would help us each one to live for Your higher purpose for our lives. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.